Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing in our journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to see what Jude meant when he pronounced an everlasting and eternal condemnation upon the heretics who bring in false doctrine and ungodly teaching into the house of God. So let's read verse 11 of Jude again together. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now, we've been studying about going in the way of Cain for several broadcasts now so that we may fully understand what Jude was talking about, and we have learned several things about what it means to go in the way of Cain. On the last broadcast, we discussed the need for a revival of biblical shame and genuine guilt and godly sorrow so that our hearts and minds would be transformed and our repentance would be genuine. I want to revisit that for a moment today as we look again at what happened with Cain in the Bible. Cain thought nothing of trying to approach God in a way that God did not authorize. Cain thought nothing about giving God a bloodless offering. Cain wasn't convicted at all about trying to serve God on God's terms, but the Bible doesn't give us any indication that Cain was bothered at all about murdering his own brother. None of this bothered Cain. Cain never had 1 ounce of conviction, not one shred of shame, no sorrow at all. Cain could do all of this and not blink an eye. The only thing that seemed to bother Cain was that God didn't accept his offering. Beloved, this is the frightening result of ignoring God's will and going in the way of Cain. Going in the way of Cain means that you have sinned so long and so often without conviction and without repenting, that you have gone on so long and served God on your own terms so long, that you have done your own thing without remorse for so long that it's now easy for you to sin. You see, dear friends, a truth about human nature is that every time God sends Holy Spirit conviction to a person and they refuse to repent, that person's heart becomes hard. Every time you ignore God's warning about wickedness and evil in your own life, your heart is getting harder and harder. Those who go in the way of Cain have hardened hearts. You see, Cain was never bothered about his sin. He could sleep very soundly at night, even though he was in direct rebellion to God. Cain could go about his daily activities with absolutely no problem at all. The Bible says that the only time that Cain began to be troubled was when God judged him. After God rejected Cain and banished him from the land, it was then that Cain began to whimper and feel sorry for himself, and he began to complain that his punishment was too hard. This is the way it is with those who go in the way of Cain. Sin poses no problem to them. They can sin with abandon, without the slightest bit of shame or remorse. It's only the penalty of their sin that bothers them. They don't mind sinning horribly against God. They can sin with impunity, without any shred of guilt or shame. But when judgment comes, they cry and they plead and they beg and complain that the penalty is too harsh, that it's not filled with love, that it's mean-spirited, too rigid and unchristian. My Christian brothers and sisters, because we are all human, we have to be very careful about what we are repenting of. In order to have genuine repentance, we must understand what repentance is and what it is not. Contrary to popular opinion, true biblical repentance is not saying you're sorry. Many people today believe that being sorry is the equivalent of repentance. But we must know that being sorry and repenting are two entirely different things. When a person tells me they're sorry about their sin, in order for me to work with them in mercy and compassion, I have to ask them another question. Why are you sorry? Are these people sorry that they offended God with their sin, or are they simply sorry that they got caught? You see, brothers and sisters, if you are sorry that you offended God with your sin, if that is the reason you are sorry, then God is truly dealing with your heart, and perhaps now that you have tasted of real godly sorrow and grief and shame, you won't be so quick to ever do that sin again so easily. But if a person is only sorry because they got caught, or if they are sorry because their sin cost them something, then we need to ask what would have happened if they had not gotten caught, or if they had temporarily gotten away with their sin. Would they still be sorry enough to repent? And sadly, the answer to that question all too many times is probably not. You see, dear friends, unless and until we experience genuine godly sorrow and godly shame, godly conviction, because we realize that we have horribly sinned against God, then we have not truly repented. And when a person is sorry for his sin rather than repent for his sin, just as soon as the penalty goes away, or as soon as the payment for that sin dies down, that person will commit the very same sin over and over and over again. And this is what is called habitual sin. Habitual sin is a particular sin that is done over and over and over again by an individual. And habitual sin is the direct result of an improper and unbiblical approach to genuine repentance. Habitual sin is the result of a bloodless repentance and a guiltless repentance and a repentance that contains no godly sorrow and no godly shame. Habitual sin is the result of people trying through their own human power to be a better person apart from the glorious power of God, the Holy Spirit, moving and dwelling and walking inside them. And because so many today are going in the way of Cain due to improper and unbiblical teaching, we have an epidemic of habitual sins among the people of the church. You see, those who have been deceived by the psychological gospel and are now enslaved in habitual sins. And the only hope for these souls is a return to biblical Christianity that is brutal on sin, but is gloriously liberating to the individual. Biblical Christianity will defeat sin. It will conquer sin. It will destroy sin in our heart and in our lives and in our homes and in our churches. When the gospel is preached rightly, when it is not compromised, when it is preached boldly and loudly and fully and fearlessly, when the gospel is preached unashamedly, the great and glorious gospel of Jesus Christ will, all by itself, always do two things. As the gospel is preached in power and glory through consecrated lips of sold-out bond slaves, it unleashes its God-given power to expose sin, to reveal hypocrisy, to bring to light our lukewarmness and backslidings. The gospel humiliates the proud, brings down the arrogant, collapses man-made religious arrogance. The gospel slices open every heart with the precision and skill of a surgeon and reveals the innermost thoughts and intents. And then the word, all by itself, divides between the soul and the spirit of every human and reduces every single hearer to the same place, laying helpless and hopeless and naked at the feet of Jesus Christ. But when Cain is in the pulpit, sinners can go on in their sin and never be convicted. When comedy has replaced gospel preaching, when man-made philosophy has replaced the Word of God, when humanistic mysticism has replaced scriptural Christianity, Holy Spirit conviction is removed, and the result is always that sin increases. Brothers and sisters, the miracle of the gospel is that the supernatural power of the gospel that is preached will always break the heart of those to whom God is dealing. But at that same very same time it is breaking their hearts, the very same message, the very same word, the same glory, the same power, the very same unveiling of Jesus Christ through His Word will harden the hearts of those who are the enemy of the cross of Christ. Those who are playing church, those who have no intention of repenting, those who desire to sin, those who bear no shame, feel no remorse, see no conviction, carry no guilt for their transgressions, will find the gospel of Jesus Christ will harden their hearts, and they will be driven further from God, while the others are brought nearer to Him. Beloved, habitual sin is a reproach to God. It is an insult to the resurrected Christ. It is an abomination to the Word of God. Habitual sin is not supposed to be. It testifies that Christ has lost His power. It screams that the gospel is not enough. It boldly proclaims that the blood of the Lamb of God cannot deliver from sin, and that is a lie from hell. The problem with habitual sin lies not in the glorious resurrected Christ or the Word of God. The problem lies in the habitual sinner. We don't need to spend time trying to understand the habitual sinner. We don't need to give the habitual sinner more time and more products or more information. No, no. The habitual sinner needs to be saved. He needs to repent with a broken heart. He needs to be willing to die rather than continue on in his sin. Now, I'm not being cruel to these people by saying these things. What is cruel is allowing these people to remain in their habitual sin. What is cruel is for the church to abandon the gospel and turn to the lost world and the solutions of a pagan Babylonian culture to try to solve the problem of habitual sin. That is what is cruel. Man-made psychology does not have the power to deliver a single person from sin, dear friends. And for us to expect anything less that Christ expects from the habitual sinner is what is unbelievably cruel. Refusing to make scriptural demands upon these people is dooming them to hell. That is incredibly cruel. Look, why do you think that habitual sin is on the rise in our day? It is precisely because many people consider preaching like this to be bad or wrong or even unchristian. And yet those very same people who tell me that the gospel can't fix these people's problems are the very ones who turn to the lost world for help. The Bible says that Jesus saves to the uttermost, and the good news is that the habitual sinner can be delivered. They can cease from their habitual sin. They can be delivered from this horrible, vicious cycle, but they cannot have God's deliverance until and unless they are willing to die completely to their sin. The key here is that anyone who complains about the righteous judgment of God, but who is not broken over his sin, is going in the way of Cain. So I ask you today, are you going in the way of Cain? We must allow the Holy Spirit to remind us that sin is not bad because it hurts us. Sin is not wrong because other people that we know and love get hurt by our sin. Sin is not wrong because it costs so much money. Sin is not evil because some people die over it, or because we go to jail, or because our lives are ruined. All of those things are indeed the direct results of our sin, but none of those things are what makes sin to be wrong and evil and ugly and dark and sinister and wicked. No, the Bible says that sin is wrong, sin is evil, sin is terrible for only one reason. It offends God, period. Sin offends the Father. And we need to spend a whole lot more time trying to ponder the insult that sin is to God, and then we would do a whole lot less of it. We must try to comprehend how unlike God sin is. We must try to look at sin the way God looks at sin. And then we will be given the gift of being able to hate our sin just like God hates it. You see, there is a truth about human beings that we need to understand. We humans tolerate our sin because we do not hate our sin. We may be discomforted by our sin. We may be inconvenienced by our sin. We may be annoyed by our sin. We may be somewhat displeasing to us. But if we are ever to have victory over sin, especially over habitual sin, we must develop a God-given ability to hate our sin. And if we are going to develop a God-given hatred of sin, we are going to have to spend a whole lot more time with God, seeking His face. We are going to have to turn off the television, study and comprehend the Bible a whole lot more. We're going to have to spend a whole lot more time with other people who are doing the first two things. Prayer, Bible study, godly fellowship will provide anyone with the power that they need to overcome habitual sin in their lives. But there are no shortcuts. People have asked me, Brother Blair, what do you do when you don't have time to pray or study the Bible? Well, I tell them to make the time. Nothing is more important. If you are too busy to pray, then you're way too busy. Cancel some of your activities, change jobs, lock the door, turn off the TV, whatever you have to do, do it. God will bless you, and the power of God will move in you, and you will have victory over habitual sin. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.